I know, get here to church and the Lord just assures it or confirms it, however the world you're supposed to say. Y'all get the drift here in a few minutes whenever I get going through here, but we sung that song, I Know My Name Is Written There. You got Brother Brian, I was in the bathroom, I'm assuming you said it. You got to know that you know that you know. Well, I'm going to preach tonight, and I didn't plan on go ahead and saying this, but I'm going to preach tonight. What do you know? What do you know? Let's go to John 9. I'm going to read one verse. We'll pray, and then we'll get going here. John chapter number 9, verse number 25. Actually, let me just back up one thing or one verse there, verse 24. It says, then again called they, this is the Pharisees calling the blind man who was healed. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, the blind man that was healed, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. If y'all would, please pray for me. I desperately need the Lord's help this evening. So just pray for me if you would. My Lord, I come before you this evening through the blood of your Son. Lord, I'm so thankful, Heavenly Father. You lay stuff on my heart that I don't understand. I don't want. But Lord, you just know what you're doing, and I want to praise you for that. Lord, I want to ask of you, Heavenly Father, if there's any sin in my life, any kind of hindrances, Lord, that's in my life that would hinder your work and tonight, please, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be in your way. Lord, I don't want any sins that are in the church to be in your way. Please, Lord, help us tonight. Help us, Heavenly Father, to receive this with an open heart. If there's a lost person in here, Lord, just catch their attention. Lord, beat their heart out of their chest. I pray tonight that you would do works in the hearts of those that are here. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word and the way that it speaks and the way that it works. I pray you'd just let your Holy Spirit go up and down every pew and every seat tonight. And we'll give you glory and honor for all things that are accomplished because we know it's all you. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me just give you just a little bit of context. Let me just give you the context of the whole chapter. If you were to go back to chapter number 8, the very last verse, Jesus is running from the Pharisees. I say running from them. He's God and he can do whatever he wants. But they were going to stone him to death. We see Jesus leaving the temple and he sees a blind man. He heals that blind man. And when we come over here, we see a lot happens. He gets brought to the Pharisees. They go back and forth. They argue over a whole bunch of stuff. The Pharisees end up casting them out, and then Jesus comes at the end. And I think in context, we can say at the very end of it, this man gets saved. But I believe that we can see a picture of salvation before the end of the chapter. But that's the context. That's the whole chapter. That's what's going on right here. I'm not going to specifically get into all that's in this. I can't. But by way of introduction, I'd like to say this. The book of John, if you were to take the Gospel of John, the word know, K-N-O-W, what we've talked about since we got here, the word know is in the book of John, the Gospel of John, 70 times. That's, if we were to take all the books of the Bible, John is only second, comes in second place to Ezekiel that the word know is mentioned 84 times. But Ezekiel has 27 more chapters. So if we want to look at that, John, the Gospel of John has 70 times. If we were to go to 1 John, which is only 5 chapters, the word know is mentioned 27 times. Turn to the book of John, chapter number 21, just for a second. John 21 and verse number 24, it says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things. He's talking about himself. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Can I tell you that the whole book of John, or the whole point of John, I believe, is for him to let us know some things that he knows. And so, if we were to look specifically of all the chapters that Mr. John wrote, If we were to come to John chapter number 9, the word no is mentioned more times in John 9 than it is in any other chapter. So all I'm going to look at tonight is I'm going to go through, and this is going to be, y'all are going to have to stay with me tonight because I've got a really short message at the very end, and we're going to go around the bend and come back around to it. It's going to take us a little while, but I think if you all just stay with me, you're going to understand what I'm saying tonight. We're going to look at all the people that are in, or all the groups of people that are in this chapter, and we're going to look at what they know. So, starting off, if we were to read verses 1 through 5, and we will, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master," and if y'all, I'm sorry if y'all are still in John 21, I'm back in John 9. I'll start again in verse 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And if you were here for Saturday night prayer this past week, you heard all this. But can I tell you, there's a few things in these verses right here that Jesus knows. Jesus knows that there's a blind man in need of help. If we were to look right here in verse number four, he said, "I must work while it is yet day." Can I tell you what Jesus knows? He knows that the opportunity is going to pass him by if he don't do something right now. And you look here in verse number 5, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." He said, and I think there's two things that we can look right here at this. For one, Jesus is the only one on the face of this planet that can heal this man. He's it. There's nobody else that can heal him. But then on the second thing, the second part of it, he is the light of the world. He took it upon himself and said, if somebody's going to help this blind man, it's got to be me. Can I tell you, if we were to look at what Jesus knows right here, I think that we can turn around and point the finger back at us and say, I know that there's opportunities around me at all time. And I know that I could fall off of this right here and go off into eternity. Death could come and hit me in just a second. I think in context, what Jesus is alluding to here is he's saying, it ain't going to be long and I'm going to be gone. He's going to be crucified. He's going to ascend up into heaven. It won't be long. Can I say that we can look at this and say, it was up to Jesus 100% to heal this man. Nobody else could. Can I tell you, there are people in your life who needs help that only you can help. Can I tell you, and he may listen to the message later, you all can't touch Josh Tipton's life like I can. Jimmy, even you can't. I work with Josh Tipton every single day, all day, every day. I have a relationship with him. Y'all live the same lifestyle as me. Y'all go to the same church. You believe the same Bible. We live very similar lives. But Josh Tipton is in my sphere of influence that y'all are not a part of. Can I say, Christ says here, as long as I'm in the world, I've got to be the one to do something. Why? Because I'm the only one that can help. And can I tell you, even if this man wasn't blind, we can go back to chapter number 5, impotent people who need help, a bunch of people need help. Jesus may as well have just said, if I don't help him, nobody else will. We don't know this man's age, but we can say that Jesus said, he's been laying here, he's been begging, he's been here this whole entire time. Nobody else has ever tried to help him. There are people in your lives that nobody else is going to help. There are people in your life that only you can help. And let me just say this once again. You don't know when that opportunity is going to be gone. Can I tell you, that's something that Jesus, those are just some things that Jesus knows. But we come down to verse number 8. Give you a little context as to what's just happened. I know there's just a couple verses there, but the blind man gets healed. And then we come to verse number 8, and look what it says. We're going to look at a different group of people here. We had Jesus, and now we're coming on down. Verse number 8 says, "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. And I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind." The next set of people I see here are these neighbors. Can I say, this is a group of people who know that something's changed to this man. We understand there in verse number 9, there's some confusion. Some say it's him, some say it's not. There's some things that they don't know there, but at the end of the verses, he says, I'm him. So they know. They knew this man's past, and they knew that something's happened, and this man has been changed. Let me just take one little step out and say, when Jesus passed by your way, he ought to make a difference enough in your life to where somebody else sees it. Somebody else can know that something's different. But we'll get to the blind man later. But can I say that this was a group of people that noticed the change in this man's life, and instead of running up to the man at first and saying, "What happened? Oh my goodness, you're a changed man. What happened?" Look what they did. The neighbors, therefore, verse 8, and they which sat, which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" They started running around to one another. They seen a change in this man's life, and they start running around telling everybody, did you see this man? Caleb, did you? Is it just me or has this man changed? Something's a little different. He runs over here to Blake. Blake, did you see him? That man's a little bit different. Wonder what happened. And y'all know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. I see a group of people who are always the ones that are in the know. When something's going on, these are the ones in the church, or these are the ones that are in the temple. Somehow, some way, they're always getting the word around that something's going on. Can I say, if you were to look at this, and we just read it, this group may have seen and may have known that this man was changed, but there wasn't a smile on none of their face. There wasn't no excitement. There wasn't no celebrations. There wasn't no praising God. They're just running around telling everybody else, "Did you see what's happened? Did you see what's going on over there?" They told everybody before they came to this man. And the only reason they came to this man is they want some more information so they can spread it around. I'm talking about gossipers, what I'm talking about. Gossipers always know everything that's going on. And can I tell you, we know that these people were not on this man's side and not on God's side. Why? Because verse 13, they took the man to the Pharisees. They were wanting to know where Jesus was at so they can take him and say, "Look what we've got. Look, we've got the one that you've been trying to catch." But they couldn't get him, so they just took the best thing that they had. They had this blind man. Can I just tell you this? There's some things better not known in your life. There's a lot of times where and I'm not pointing at anybody specific back here, but it'll start out back here, and it give it 2 weeks, Pastor, and everybody in the whole church knows, besides the one person that's being talked about, and they have no clue. They told that one person, one thing's going on, and now everybody knows. Can I tell you, most of the time, whenever talk gets going around, it's not because... Chad, you've mentioned this. I can't remember exactly what you were saying about it. Most of the time, it's bait to get you on their side. Most of the time, whenever gossip starts going around, it's not that they genuinely care for the person, but there's something in the back of their mind saying, they've got faults in their life. I don't have those. Can I tell you, the less you know about others, the better they look in your eyes. Can I tell you all, I'm up here in a suit. I'm holding the Bible. I'm preaching. God called me to preach. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And y'all think, man, Dre's awesome. I know some of you young people do. You don't know me. I'm just going to tell you, the more you know about me, the less you're going to like me. But I'm just going to tell you that gossip will mess everything up. Gossip, Chad, right back to what you preach. Gossip gets in this church, there's going to be division, and we won't have no unity in this church. Do not be in the gossip groups that are always in the know. The ones that know everything. Let me just say this. Whenever you do get into those groups that know everything, just remember to whom much is known, or whom much is given, much is required, is what I'm trying to say. You may end up finding something out that you really didn't mean to find out. You may find out something about somebody. Pastor, you preached a message about, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I can't remember what exactly you're saying, but if I find something out about a brother or sister that they're doing wrong, it's dead set against the Word of God, and it's in my hands, if I don't do something about it, I'm partakers of their evil deeds. You better be careful whenever you start accepting gossip. You may end up biting off more than you can chew. So we see these neighbors. But then we come on down, we go on around to verse number 18. And what's happened? They brought him to the Pharisees, the blind man. They keep asking the blind man a bunch of questions. They don't believe him. So what they do is they bring in this man's parents. Look at verse number 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." Can I tell you that this man's parents, what I see in this man's parents is a picture of those that just don't want to get involved. You've got the parents who are not denying that this is their son, but they're just straight up denying by what means this man was healed and made to see. Now, I'm just going to ask you, if you had a kid that he says that he is of age, I don't know, let's say he's 18, was born blind and has been blind for 18 years, and somebody comes to you and says, "Your child can now see," what are you going to do? For one, he's out there begging. They ain't even with him. I'm going to run to my child and I'm going to say, "How did this happen?" And we already know, and we'll see it here in just a few minutes, that this blind man was not scared to tell them that it was Jesus. So no doubt these parents know by what means he was healed. But can I tell you, let's keep reading here. Verse 22, "These words spake his parents." But why did they lie about this? "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, 'He is of age, ask him.'" These people go as far as to lie about Christ because they were scared of some persecution. They were scared of the change, the way that others were going to look at them. These people didn't want to get too involved. They said, "Yeah, he's our son, but go ask him. I don't want nothing to do with it." They're keeping back some knowledge in their life from putting it into action, if I said that the right way. Let me just bring it to us. Did you know there's some people that are scared to death to serve the Lord? There's people that are scared to death to take another step for the Lord. There are people that are scared to embrace more Scripture in their life. You know why? Because they're scared it's going to change them. They're scared that the way that other people look at them is going to be different. They're scared that they might have to give up some stuff. They're scared that there might be some friends that they got to give up. There might be some activities that they cannot partake in any longer. Many people will not get involved even when they truly know what they need to be doing. Can I tell you, Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." If you turn your ear deaf to what the Word of God's telling you and truth that is being preached to you, if you turn your ear off to that, I ain't saying that the Bible says it. Your prayer is an abomination. That's a scary thing. You better make sure that whatever truth's being preached to you, you better put it into action. But I'm going to tell you, if you're fearful of what God can, how God can change your life, it's a kind of change that you want. Let me just say it that way. Let me say this too. If we were to go to Hebrews chapter number 10, we would see what willful disobedience brings. The fiery hand of God. Chastening hand of God. If you're turning a deaf ear, if you just don't want to get involved because you know it's going to change your life, you're willfully ignorant. It's your choice. Let me tell you this. There was a lady I invited out to church. This has been years ago. I invited her out to come to church. First thing she said was, "How many people go to your church?" I said, "We got 60, 70, 80 people usually." And she was like, "Oh, okay." She didn't say it dead like this, but she said, "Your church is too little. I can't go to your church." "Why? Why can't you go to my church?" "Because I'm going to be seen whenever I'm not there." That's what she said. That's what this lady told me. She said, "I don't want to go to a church. I don't want to get involved in a place where whenever I'm not there, I'll be missed. Whenever I'm not there, there'll be a gap. There'll be something there that, there'll be something missing in the church if I'm not there." She was willfully turning down truth because she was scared she was going to be seen whenever she was sinning. There are, most of the time whenever I try to invite somebody to church, I'll tell them, "This church has changed my life." That's what I tell. I ain't lying to them. This church has changed my life. I'm about to quit telling people that. People don't want to change. If you try to say, "Man, it's changed my life," they say, "Oh, man, that's good, that's good." They never show up. Now, if we go down here to a little ways down the road, if I was a member down there, I'd say, "Man, come as you are, leave as you are. We party all night." Guarantee you they'll be there. I guarantee it. But I tell you what, whenever it's required in stewards to be found faithful in the church and the house of God, people don't want to get involved. Too much knowledge is going to mess them up. Too much knowledge is going to stir the pot in their life. They might have to turn their back on friends and family. They might have to give up some activities. And it's all because they're scared of the truth. Scared of what the truth will do to their life. We see in these parents that they go as far as to denying truth just so that it don't change their view, other people's view of them. Let me just tell you this. If you're afraid, and I already said this earlier, I didn't mean to, but if you're afraid of the consequences, the results of giving everything to Christ, don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what, giving Him everything will be the best thing you ever did. There will be difference of thoughts to you or toward you. There will be some things that change. Once again, I'm happy I changed. He'll take care of you no matter what. So we've seen what Jesus knows. We've seen what the neighbors have known. We've seen what the parents have known. And I can't read all this, but next I want to look at what the Pharisees know. And here it is real quick. They know everything. They know everything. Tell me something they don't know. Man, they ask more questions in this text. I didn't look it up, but maybe in any other spot. I know that they asked more questions right here than any other person did to this blind man, but every time they asked a question and the man answered it, they said he was wrong. That's not the point of a question. Can I tell you, they come to this man and say, "How did this happen?" "Jesus did it." "No, he didn't." What did he do? "He put clay on my eyes, he anointed me, told me to go wash, and I washed, now I see." "No, he didn't." "Okay, well, we don't like what you're saying. We're going to go over here and we're going to ask your parents." The The Pharisees never got their answer. You know what happened after they talked to the parents and still didn't get the right answer? Look on down here in verse 24. We already read it earlier, but verse 24 says, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, 'Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner.'" So they kept asking, didn't get the right answer. Kept asking, didn't get the right answer. Now they're saying, "This is the answer. This is the answer we want you to say. Give God the praise." What they don't realize is the man is giving God all the praise. Can I tell you, these Pharisees act like they know everything. But can I tell you, they don't know a thing. These are the ones, yeah, they look good. They know more scripture than you do. They know more scripture than this blind man. But they're blinder than a bat. Here they are. Let me just read this verse. Romans 1:22, it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Can I tell you, most of the time, and let me back up and bring this back to us individually, if you think that you know everything, most of the time you're just witnessing the fact that you really don't know much. I have learned that in my life many a times. I was a teenager and I'm still a young man. And I've heard the pastor tell me, "Man, he says all that very dogmatically, don't he? And I don't even know what I'm talking about." Most of the time, years ago you said that, I promise. I'm like, "Brian, I'm quoting pastor." But can I tell you, the Pharisees, man, they looked the part, they acted the part, they had everything going for them, but they didn't know a thing. They couldn't see the forest for the trees being in the way. It's just how it is. But let me just say this, be aware of people, and a little bit different of a point, but be aware of people that are poking and prodding, asking you questions, because like I said earlier, many times they're not really wanting you to give the answer that you're going to give. They want you to give them the answer that they want so that you can be on their side. And then if the blind man would have sided with the Pharisees, this whole entire miracle would have been disregarded. It would not have been accounted to Christ for doing this. And there's a lot of things happen because of this. I can't get into none of that. But in all reality, these Pharisees didn't know anything they didn't already know or that they didn't want to know. But in true reality, they didn't know anything. If you were to go and look over in verse number 41, Jesus says this. Jesus said unto them, talking to the Pharisees, "If you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." They didn't have no problems. There wasn't nothing wrong with them. They could see just fine. But can I tell you, seeing just fine, Christ told them, "Your sin remaineth." Let me just say this. Don't be a Pharisee. But then lastly, and this is my main point, let me read verse 25 again, and y'all are going to see exactly where I'm going with this. "He answered and said, 'Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.'" Let me just tell you, before I get to what this man knows, let me tell you what he didn't know. He didn't know what it was like to go to a 4-year seminary. This man didn't know what it was like to be best friends with the pastor's kids and grow up with the pastor's kids. If he had a pastor, he wouldn't even know what the pastor looked like. This man didn't even know what the face of his parents looked like. This man, whenever he got healed, did not even realize he was in the presence of Almighty God. This man didn't know a thing. But can I tell you, he did know something. You look in this verse, he says, "One thing I know." I know. Not that I'm questionable about. Not one thing that I doubt. Not one thing that, yeah, I believe it. But he said, "This is one thing I know." This man did not need the teaching of the Pharisees. He didn't need the scholars. He didn't need a childhood grew up in church. Can I tell you what he had? He had a personal experience with Christ. These Pharisees knew how to dot the I's and cross the T's, but they didn't know nothing. This man didn't know a thing, but yet he had a touch of Christ. He had one little experience where Christ touched him, and he knows the greatest thing of all. This blind man said that he knows one thing because of his personal experience. Can I tell you, your personal experience, what happened to you between you and Christ, ain't nobody can take that from you. There's no way. Can I tell you, experience, personal experience, is 100% proof. There ain't nobody can talk you out of what happened to you if you really got touched by Christ. Let me just tell you what verse 25 says in my own words. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know what this blind man said? He said, you know, there ain't a whole lot that I do know. But he said, when Jesus Christ passed by my way, and he gave me a commandment, and I followed that commandment, you know what he said? My life has been changed. My life has been turned upside down. My life is nothing like it used to be. He said, I see everything different. I walk everywhere different. Before my eyes were opened, if I wanted to go over there, I had to crawl. And if I crawled that way just a little bit, it wasn't long and I was off track. He said, everything about my life is different. When Jesus passed by his way, it all changed. He said that Jesus passed by his way. He said, Jesus spat on the ground. He said, Jesus anointed my eyes. Jesus commanded me to go. You know, he said, Jesus changed my life. The Pharisees can't say none of that because Jesus ain't a part of their life. Can I tell you, it was all about Christ. It was all about Jesus. How was he healed? Jesus. Can I ask you, has anything in your life changed? Was Jesus a part of it? This man said, before Jesus, I lived in darkness my whole life and had no idea. I was just living my life. My normal everyday life, living in darkness. I didn't know what was going on around me. I was living in it. I was just walking around, just doing my own thing, living my own life. But when Jesus came by, he turned the lights on, and I see this whole world's in a different light to me now. This whole world means so much different to me. So we've seen a group of people that wanted to know. We've seen a group of people that didn't want to know. We've seen a group of people that thought they knew. And we see a man that knew one thing. So bring it to a close here. Don't close your Bibles. Braylon does that a lot. Pastor closes his Bible and says, I'm done. Braylon's done too. Let me tell you this. Let me ask you this one simple question. This is the whole thing. What do you know? What do you know? Sinner, do you know that Christ died in your place? Sinner, do you know that you're in need of a Savior? Do you know that if you died today, you're going to split hell wide open? Let me ask you this. Do you know of a time when Jesus did pass by your way and you told him, no, I'd rather live in darkness? Do you know of a time where you told him, I know you're near. I know that you're beating my heart out of my chest, but I don't want it. Let me ask you this. Do you know of a time where Jesus passed by your way and you accepted it right off the bat? I say praise God. Let me ask you, do you know that you need to be born again? Do you know that your eyes have been opened, or do you know that your eyes are still in darkness? Do you know one thing for sure? Do you know of the time when Christ passed by your way and changed your life? Let me ask you this. Do you know if he's speaking to you right now? Let me flip the switch to a saved person. Do you know that you're not right with God? Do you know that where you're at right now is not where you were at 6 months ago, a year ago? Do you know that you're not as faithful as you once were? Do you know that you're not getting involved in this church because you're scared it's going to change your lifestyle? Do you know that you're always looking for something else to talk about? Do you know that you know it all like the Pharisees? But back to a sinner. This is who I want to talk to. What do you know? If you've never been saved, if you know that if you were to die today, you'd go to hell, let me ask you, what do you know? When the blind man passed by his way, he knew something changed. Can I tell you, I know. In my heart, I know the day that he passed by my way. March the 18th, 2007, I didn't know a thing. I was sitting, there was only two sets of pews, and I was about back there. My cousin got up. I didn't know what in the world was going on. He got up and went to the altar. And it was just like the Holy Ghost smacked me with a brick and said, you need to go too. You know what I did? I got up and I went. You know what happened? He saved me that day. I know he did. I know that if it was not for Christ, I'd be a drug addict today. I know that if it wasn't for Christ, I'd be an alcoholic today. If I know that I shouldn't be standing where I'm at today. But can I tell you, I know that Christ changed my life. Where I used to be is not where I want to be. Where I used to be, He just changed me. Everything that had to do with my life. And I was young, and there was a lot of things that happened, but I got under some sound doctrinal preaching, and it changed my life. The way I talked, the way I dressed, where I went, what I did, what I do, it changed it all. I know that Christ can change your life. I know He changed my life. Let me tell you this. You know the truth that in your own personal life. You know the truth. Do you know that your heart's beating out of your chest right now? Do you know that you're not living right for God? Do you know that you need to be saved? Somebody come to a piano. Let me just say this. You know. You know what's going on in your life. So let me just end it like this. Sinner, what do you know? Go ahead, Blake. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Why don't you go ahead and stand up to your feet if you would, please.